Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Stoon of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Stoon of the Game, and here with me in studio, taking a break from saving the world from fires, well, maybe not the world, but at least Sumter County, my man, Chris Rankin. Chris, what's going on, brother?
Hey, it's good to be back in here.
Hey, what can I say? You know, because football, and we'll actually talk about some football this week. We won't just be buried in Deflategate the whole time, but because there's just been so much silliness brought up about it, we got to hit a little bit from the previous week that we did not know about yet on Monday. And of course, I could not pass up a week of awesome here at the Student of the Game without bringing up my man, Weasel Weez!
Yeah, boy!
Steven Weasel Hurley coming aboard as well. Actually, live, I believe you're at the house, Hurley, are you not?
Yep, at the house, Hurley.
Expanding the horizons of the Student of the Game. I'll grant it, albeit, see, what's funny is he's only so many minutes away from here, but yet I still feel like he's talking to me right now. Oh, wait. No, but I mean, really quick. And, you know, something I want to get put together on a side note, and it kind of makes me want to throw things. And let me ask you, so it's not just me, and I mean, I know the three of us live in Florida, so that creates a bias. But I was watching one of those top 10 shows that you get on the NFL Network, and they had running back tandems. And they had the top 10 running back tandems, and they excluded Mike Allstott and Warrick Dunn from the list. I kind of have a problem with that. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. I mean, at least put them at number 10, right? I don't know. Am I getting something wrong there? Not everybody.
Cut out.
Go ahead.
Cut out for me. Can you repeat that last part?
No, that's okay. Chris, we'll go to you first.
Now, with Mike Allstott and Warrick Dunn.
Yeah.
He said, I think they might have been a little higher if Warrick Dunn would have stayed in Tampa a little bit better, a little longer than when he went to Atlanta and had that, you know, a couple good seasons up there in Atlanta. I think that's what kind of might have tainted the results right there.
Maybe. Well, I mean, that it kind of takes away because he went from being with Allstott to the DVD combo that was Dockett, Vic, and Dunn. I don't know. But yeah, so running back tandems, top 10 of all time. Do Mike Allstott and Warrick Dunn belong somewhere on the list, Weasel? What do you think?
Oh, it would have to be like late 10s. I'd say about maybe 10, because I mean, they were a good one-two punch. Allstott's, you know, the goal line guy, and he was really like gonna knock some people over. So and Warrick Dunn, he had a pretty decent career. So I put him like, you know, late in the top 10.
Hmm. Well, no, and I'm not saying this should be top. Let's not be ridiculous. But even when Dunn was hurt, Allstott could still carry the load. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it. And I could be wrong. I just want to throw it out there. And hey, look, you know, this is why it's called the Student of the Game. Not Mr. Know-It-All, I know everything, because I can tell you what's what of the game. That would also be entirely too long of a title. I'll throw that out there, too. Anyways, speaking of things that are entirely too long, no, Weasel, don't make the joke. Speaking of things that are entirely too long, this Deflategate scandal is just all over the place. We were on shortly after the news was broken of Brady's 4-game suspension and the Patriots penalties and all that other stuff. But there's been plenty of time for analysis, over-analysis, the Pats rebuttal, more over-analysis. Like, I can see the look on Chris's face, and he gives this distinct gaze of, please kill me now. I've had it.
Yeah, I don't like talking about the Patriots. I think I've had it all the rest of the year. We haven't even started a new football season.
So even when it involves about them potentially cheating or being...
Yeah, it's like I'm over with it. Yeah, it's already done. Too much attention to Boston.
I had
yes,
nothing
they're
to do
just
with that.
That wrong. Yes.
Anyways, so we mentioned the Patriots rebuttal. Weasel, you having the talent as the outside the lines research guy like you do on this show... Take us through the Pats rebuttal a little bit, man. What's your what was it, and what's your take so far?
Well, so far, just the introduction before that, the Wells report did come out, and a lot of it, the Patriots, I guess they felt that it was the tools used. Like, I think that the tools to measure the pressure for the balls, they weren't accurate. So there's a little bit that was said into the rebuttal for the Patriots is that they weren't using their two gauges that they had, and so they were taking mixed, pressure measurements. And the Patriots are saying that the ideal gas law says that if you go into a colder or warmer environment, it could affect the pressure. So when they were doing these tests, the Patriots are saying that they're not accurate, and it should be thrown out. So also, and the one that's just hilarious is that the Patriots are using the text messages that went back and forth, and one of them did call. It was McNally, who was he's the guy that takes the footballs over to the officials, and he's the one that's allegedly taking out the air out of the footballs.
He's the one that allegedly handled Brady's balls. Got it.
Yep. So what happened was he McNally, when he was he supposedly in the bathroom was airing out the footballs, and that's why I think he's been doing this. This isn't just the AFC Championship game. This was done before, and he called himself the deflator. Now McNally is he is hilarious. The guy he says F Tom Brady and throughout it, and he just makes jokes about pumping up the footballs too much because Brady doesn't like that. But one of the funny things is that in the rebuttal you have McNally. He said that I'm the deflator or something like that, and so the Patriots are saying, "Oh no, that's about weight loss," and it's just it. When I heard that, I'm like shocked. I'm like, what the heck is this? Because the thing is that the context of those text messages, there were the only ones they have are from McNally and help me out with the other guy's name.
Jastrzemski.
So they have all this, it's quote unquote evidence of the text messages that it refers to Brady. He actually referred over to McNally, not by name, but he said that McNally must have a pretty tough job to get all the stuff ready for him. But everything is pointing to Brady and this McNally guy and the Patriots. It's just some people call it, it's a joke what the Patriots did. But one thing that I noticed, and it's one thing that you have Robert Kraft, who is the owner of the Patriots. And this is a quote, and I was like, when I read this, I was like, it's pretty shocking. So what it is he asked Brady if he had told he was innocent. And Kraft said, yes, because we had a discussion. If you did it, let's deal with it and move on. And deal with it and take your hit and move on. I've known Tom 16 years, almost half his life. He's a man, and he's always been honest with me, and I trust him. I believe what he told me. He has never lied to me, and I have found no hard or conclusive evidence to the contrary. So what's kind of weird is that with Spygate, they were like, yeah, you got us. Oh, gosh, guys. And so the Patriots took the penalty because, they had, all those videotapes. Filming the defensive coordinator.
Hold on. Let's slow down there real quick. First of all, it wasn't exactly like the Patriots like, oh golly jeepers, you got us. Here's the tapes. That ain't how it went down, first of all. Let's be clear there. I don't care what Bob Kraft
says. It wasn't that easy for him.
Yeah,
it wasn't
exactly.
That easy.
They did not give up the tapes that easy. And just to break down a couple other things too, because you covered a lot of stuff there. We'll get back on track here in just a second. But so the whole Jim McNally, the alleged ball handler, there is no way to say that without making a joke, is there?
Not at all.
Okay. I mean, wasn't there some sort of a politician that was involved in the scandal with, you know, a bathroom and some sort of an interlude there into. So now we hear about McNally handling balls in a bathroom. It only gets worse from here, folks. But anyways, this whole deflator thing and oh, it's weight loss. You couldn't come up with that 2 weeks ago. I mean, okay,
yeah,
but
yeah,
there's, I won't even get into all that. That I still feel like there's a lot more there that just, oh, they're coming up with this just now. You know, maybe if you didn't fight so hard, you wouldn't look as stupid. But yeah, you mentioned the piece where Brady, the way it's being built up is essentially Brady looked Bob Kraft in the eye, the owner of his team, and said, I did not have sexual relations. No, wrong guy. He looked
with McNally. Yes.
Correct. Oh, God. See, I walked right into that. Damn it. No, but he basically said, look, I did not deflate the balls.
Of course he didn't.
Well, right. Or that he was not involved with the conspiracy, most importantly. However, there was a past event, and this is here in Jacksonville. Maybe nobody remembers this. But a very talented player who is not as famous as he probably would have been, except he played in Jacksonville. Do you know where I'm going yet, Chris?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Jimmy Smith, the receiver, was involved with a cocaine thing off the field. Told everybody up and down, I did not do this. And all along, he really did. So I think I'm with you. You made the point, Weasel, that if he's really... Everybody's now officially out on the limb in the Patriots organization for Tom Brady, regardless of if he talked to anybody else, because the exchange took place between Kraft and Brady. Now it's out there. Now there's problems, right? I mean, do I pretty much have that, Chris?
Yeah, right. I just want to come up with, I heard this last week, Brady in an interview in 2011, mm-hmm. they're asking about Gronkowski as his, how he was spiking the ball after a touchdown.
Oh.
And asked Brady if he liked it. It was on his weekly call-in show. He does a weekly show out during football season. He's always on the show. And his exact words, Gronkowski spikes the ball and deflates the ball, which I love that because I like, you know, the deflated ball.
Well, oh, I do remember that now that you mentioned it. And then, well, really quick, too, his former center, Damian Woody, it keeps getting worse and worse. Damian Woody acknowledged deflated balls. God, I quit. I can't. It's not fair. How do you take this serious? I don't know. Okay, but anyway, there's some points I want to add in. Keep going, Weasel.
Well, one thing that's I think the big thing about this, and there's a lot of evidence. There's evidence of people are talking with the scientific evidence. The text messages they're using that. The Wells case used that a lot. But the rebuttal, it just tries to just, you know, shut everything down. And I think the only way that this is going to go past, because it is an appeals, is you're going to have Jim McNally. He is, you know, the guy that is, you know, allegedly, he was the one that deflated the footballs. You have John Jastrzemski, who is the one that prepares the balls.
Damn
yeah,
it.
I said that. And you have Tom Brady. So all this evidence with, you know, PSI about how the footballs were switched over, and during halftime, the refs checked it. It ends up that a lot of them were low, and they're questioning the gauges. All that, it's like, it doesn't really matter, because I think what they need is Jim McNally, who I believe they... I've heard it was four times that Jim McNally has met with the Patriots, but in reality, I think the Kraft people were saying that he met with us once. So,
well, you got that backwards a little bit. What Patriots, it was is McNally was interviewed four times, three times by the NFL, once by Ted Wells, the one who actually operated the report. And what the Patriots are responding with is saying they wouldn't want to allow a fifth follow-up report because they found it excessive. When in Ted Wells' point of view, he was just, that was his only opportunity to follow up, and from his point of view, he didn't get it. So, I mean, I think that's a bit of how you say a way to, it's a kind of a misnomer in that it's something that they're trying to waver on and another bit of PR play, in my opinion. But anyways, so yeah, keep going, Weasel.
Okay, let's see. So all this comes down to is that you have Brady's word, you have McNally's word, and you have Josh Dempsey's word. So looking at something here, it's from like a May 14th, but the Patriots really fired Jim McNally and Josh Dempsey over because of the Deflategate. Right. Did that really happen?
Well, they were indefinitely suspended. I know that.
Why? I don't see why they didn't suspend him, because I think he's going to be pretty mad that he doesn't have a job anymore. And so hopefully McNally can, I hope the appeals lets McNally talk or anything like that, because it sounds like technically he's not on the Patriots with the Patriots right now. But all my thing is that you have three guys that know, and everyone else, it's all speculation. You have all this evidence, pressures and stuff, but the reason why that the Wells report wanted Brady's information with the phone calls and text messages only dealing with the cases that McNally, the Wells report did not have a lot. They had the two guys' text messages, but not anything with Brady. So people are like, oh, Brady's not even mentioned a lot in the report, but it's just that they needed this evidence. And
well, right.
They
needed
didn't
to complete
to
the picture.
And, go ahead.
Yeah, they needed to complete the picture. It's kind of like people who went and saw the first Lord of the Rings movie that came out was like, oh my God, why did they end it there? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it's because it's incomplete, because Brady held back his stuff. It's pretty much what it is, my man. So let me go ahead and pass it to you, Weasel. Go ahead and put a bow on it and wrap it up for us here, bro.
Okay, so you got this whole Deflate thing, AFC Championship game. And so the all they're saying is that the Patriots deflated the footballs before the game, and so in halftime they checked it, and they had low numbers for the footballs by the Patriots. So you fast forward a little bit, you have a bunch of text messages between the two guys, Jim McNally and John Dostremski. They just shoot stuff back and forth, and they mention, of course, one guy at the deflator, Jim McNally, not because of this, he's losing weight. But it's pretty obvious that he was the one that is deflating. So what I see from the rebuttal is that the Patriots just look, they're looking goofy right now. It's like, why did they do that? And what it comes down to, in my opinion, is that it's a he said kind of thing between Brady and these two other guys.
And in the end, from hearing it,
they have an appeal coming.
Yeah.
And the Patriots, they pretty much took all the excuses, everything that went in the port, and it's, oh, that's not how it went. So the way I sum it up is that you have all this evidence, but it's what it's going to come down to is McNally and Dostremski. I don't know if they're allowed to talk during the upcoming appeal. I'm not sure, but I think it's just going to be testimony if they have it between the three of them. And a lot's on Brady, because he did tell his boss, pretty much the guy who owns the second biggest, most revenue for, I think, a football team, or how much the team costs. He told him that he said they're innocent, and that he trusts Tom Brady. So this is going to be very interesting, because not only did he lie to the NFL, he lied to his boss.
So
and that could just look very bad. So I'm just waiting for, I hope there's something we hear from McNally or Dostremski, but right now, evidence. I think we just need to see people's how they respond to these three.
So in the end, it's he said, and all of us from hearing it all just have a bunch of deflated balls. Thank you very much, Weasel. Thanks for checking in. Go ahead and tell the people where they could find you at on Twitter real quick, brother.
Well, you could find me at it's a Weasel, WeaselVSOTG. And that's Twitter. And so love to hear from, all the people out there. And so, yep, good stuff. And very interesting stuff for the it's a late gate, so it's not it's far from being over.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Definitely, we'll probably have a little bit more to talk about next week when you're back, brother. All right, man. Thanks for checking in. Have a good night, bro. So, there you go. Weasel Worries giving us the shakedown and a little bit more even about the Fleet Gate. And you know what? Here's what it is, Chris. If Bob Kraft wants to sue Roger Goodell, do you really think it's going to come to that? Like, in the court of law?
If he really wanted to, he probably could. Yeah.
But let me tell you why he won't. Because this whole thing is shaky because they couldn't, the Patriots could essentially refuse to cooperate. If this goes to court, there's this little thing called a subpoena. And now they can start probing the Patriots organization for anything they're doing wrong. If I'm Bob Kraft, Roger Goodell will be your Huckleberry if you challenge him. He's proven that. But if I'm Bob Kraft, I'm not taking this thing to municipal court or civil court or whatever you want to call it. I'm just saying. So, there you go. And by the way, really quick, Weasel was talking about people bringing up testimonies and appeals. It's not exactly how it works. With an appeal, you have to attack the process and show something that went wrong in the process of the investigation. This isn't about findings in a hearing or anything like that. It's trying to find a flaw in the process of how it was brought up. And the problem being, it's in numerous collective bargaining agreement. I shouldn't say numerous, but the latest collective bargaining agreement that Roger Goodell has the power to do all of the above. So they're kind of screwed. But you never know what'll happen, because I think the fact that this is out in the court of public opinion, anything could happen. And we'll leave it at that. Boom. So, Tom Brady, still officially for now, has a 4-game suspension. He has appealed it. Of course, Roger Goodell is elected to hear the appeal. But let's pretend for a minute, Chris, that the suspension holds. And I haven't pulled up the Patriots schedule yet, but I will as you're talking. Do you really think this will have a particularly big impact on what's going on for the Patriots in a season? It's 4 games, which is a quarter of the season, in fairness. And, I mean, I have their schedule in front of me. That's the Steelers, Bills, Jaguars, and Cowboys. They could have conceivably been 3-1, 4-0 those first 4 games. Now, I think, at worst, it'll bring it to 2-2. What do you think?
I'm thinking 2-2. I mean, Buffalo is better than they were last year. The additions they made through the draft and the players they picked up.
Yeah, that's true.
So, not having Brady there, realistically, I don't think it's going to be 4 games. I think it's going to be dropped down to 2. So, what were the first 2 games you said? Steelers and Bills,
and then the Jets.
Steelers and
Cowboys.
Bills. Yeah, even with that, they might be one and one. They could beat the Steelers even without Brady.
Okay, well let me walk through it quickly, and then just give me a yes for a win and a no for a loss. Okay, so Steelers.
Yes.
Bills.
Not without Brady. No, I don't think so.
In Buffalo. Okay, so
in Buffalo.
So
no.
Yeah. Okay, Jags.
Jags. Yes.
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
In Dallas.
One game. Without Brady, no.
Okay, yeah. So that's 2-2.
Right.
He comes back, in all irony, against the Colts, yes or no?
Correct,
in
right.
Indy.
Yes.
I don't think that
matters
either.
No.
3-2.
Yep.
The Jets.
The Jets, yeah, no one.
Okay, 4-2. Dolphins in Miami. In October.
Now they'll lose that one.
Okay, 4-3. Okay. Right. Or actually, no, 3-3. Excuse me. No, I'm right. 4-3. Okay, 4-3. Redskins, 5-3.
All right.
Giants in New York.
Regular season, yes.
Okay, 6-3. Bills in Foxborough. 7.
Yeah, right.
Broncos in Denver. That could go either way.
That could go, yeah.
Let's do worst case scenario and say no.
I'd say no, because they still don't have a good secondary.
So that's true. So that's 7-4 right now, 11 games in. The Eagles, I think that'll make 8. Because I'll give them, even if it's in Philly, I'll give the Patriots 8 for that game. in Houston for the Texans.
Yeah, I won that one.
Okay, 9. Mm-hmm. The Titans. I'll give it 10. Right. The Jets in East Rutherford.
I think they'll lose one of them. I think.
Okay, so they're going to split. If you say they're going to split the Dolphins.
Yeah, they're going to split the Dolphins, they're going to split the Jets, and split the Bills, I think.
I still think we got them 11 wins right
there. Yeah, they do. As I said, it doesn't matter if it's two games or four games. It doesn't matter.
So with that in mind, the magic number is still 11 if you want to win the day. And see how many – the good news is if you're competing, the losses they would have would be AFC losses. But, yeah, they got the AFC South and the NFC East. This was a good year to not have Brady because that is a garbage schedule.
Right, and that's why I was saying last week. I mean, it would be better if it would have been a suspension in the playoffs, even though if it wasn't.
Well,
I mean,
we touched on that.
I know, but I'm just saying this whole deflated ball, I said it back in January when they said it. It's not like that big of a deal, I don't think. I mean, it's a little preference. It's just how they acted to it is what is a little more. So that's why I'd say if you want to act that way, just go to where it's going to hurt them more. It would be the playoffs.
Well, actually, because it isn't a big deal is why you don't hit them in the playoffs.
Well, I would still hit them in the playoffs just to show how serious. Because, I mean, it's like second offense from them because of because of Spygate.
Well,
and now this, how they're acting about it. You just got to go. I would go right after I would have gone off the postseason.
See, for me personally, I don't think this is about the deflated balls anymore. And anybody who's talking like it is just hasn't been paying attention.
Right.
This is essentially this isn't a real crime or anything like that, but it's like they're being charged in obstruction of justice for stealing a pack of gum. Right?
Right.
I that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I think that's similar to what you're saying.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we just went through the games. They're still make the playoffs without it. With the 4-game suspension or 2-game suspension, they'll still make the playoffs. So that's why, like, it's not a big deal with the suspension. You got to go where it hurts them. That would be the playoffs.
So you got morons who, like, sat in the lobby of the NFL home office and got arrested to make a point. But this suspension, which is meant to punish the lack of cooperation for the Patriots organization to the terms of an agreement that both the Patriots organization and the players of the organization agreed to, okay, with what's going to be a minimal suspension anyway, because the damn Pats will probably get back to the playoffs. Now, I think you and I are in agreement that with the defense they no longer have, you mentioned the secondary being a fraction of itself. Hey, don't forget they lost the world's fastest immovable object in Vince Wilfork as well. Please don't forget that. I know they drafted Malcolm Brown, but damn it, I don't think he's going to be as good. I say all that to say, with that defense, I don't think they're a legitimate championship threat. They're a dark horse threat, I'll say, just because Brady. But in the end, this suspension means so little. I think the reason why we're all talking about it is because A, the Patriots handled it horrible in terms of a PR job, and B, what the hell else do we really have to talk about? Well, as it would turn out this week, we do have a couple more things to talk about, but we'll do that after the break. You're listening to the Student of the Game on NGSC Sports. I bet people hate it when I do that. I'm just saying. Anyways. You know, after all this Deflategate talk, I had to play something that made you think of football. Come on, Chris. Football!
Football.
About to play football. What? Because the replacements. Any time to bring up the replacements is a good time. Even, I don't know. I'm wondering if, like, the Patriots organization's reaction to you know, hey, those Chargers are a horse, beep, a horse, beep. if you saw the movie The Replacements, you'll get it. And if you haven't, do something about your life because you need to. You know, what is it, that one movie that's out with Reese Witherspoon and the Spanish actress Sophia, what's her name or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
That, whatever. I think it's like Hot Something.
Hot Sophia hot Vargas. Pursuit. Yeah, Hot Pursuit. Right.
Yeah. I heard about. You know how I remember the name is because there were people bitching about it on the radio this morning. I went to see it and it was so bad. But at that point, I'm like, what'd you think was gonna happen? Anyways, so let's keep it in the AFC East real quick. We mentioned the fact that the magic number for the AFC East, even with the Brady suspension, is probably going to be 11 games. But Ryan Tannehill has a contract extension. His current deal with the Finns, now worth $95 million in total. The current year's arrangement is still good, but they're extending it another 5 years. So he currently has 6 years left with the Dolphins, $95 million in total. But we all know it's about the guaranteed money, which is set at $25 million, a possible $45 million, dependent on a number of factors. For one, whether or not he gets injured and stuff like that. So, Chris, the Tannehill deal, man, talk to me about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins have been praising for him for the last 2 years. They've been looking... they're saying he is the franchise quarterback, so that's why they signed him long term. He is actually one of the four quarterbacks in that 2012 draft class so far to sign an extension right now, to solidify a deal. So Dolphins are saying it. That's why they liked him, why they drafted him up there at number 10. They see something with him. I don't know what, a little bit, you know.
Well, and we've said it a lot, too, on this show. You're right to say that the jury's still out. He's not bad. He's not great. But name me the quarterback that's had the most successful season for the Miami Dolphins since Dan Marino. Go.
Is it Ryan Fielder?
Jay Fiedler. No.
Yeah.
Not Chad Henne before you go there.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to go to Chad Henne.
The last time the Dolphins made the playoffs
was Lemon.
Was not Cleo Lemon. God. A bad car and a bad quarterback both have the same name. Negative. 2010. Got eliminated early by the Ravens. Quarterback was one. Former Jet.
Oh,
Chad Pennington. I didn't lead with former Jet because I knew you would have gotten it at that point. But yeah, Chad Pennington is the last quarterback to get the damn Miami Dolphins to the damn playoffs.
I was glad to see him leave New York. He never played a full season in New York.
Yeah. He's always hurt. And yet somehow managed to make
it. The only reason why people thought he was good because in college he had Randy Moss.
Yeah. There's something to that. I mean, he got exposed for not being as talented with the long ball in the NFL. But that aside.
And then his first few years, and he had Keyshawn Johnson up there in the Jets, so it kind of helped him out.
Correct. And a Wade Corbett, if we're going to go there.
Right.
I mean, that was a good tandem. I like those guys. But... So, let's put it this way. Now, the contract is a lot safer, but you have a quarterback who's in place, who isn't necessarily elite in the league, but what they could say is, oh, he's the best quarterback since. What other starter does that loosely remind you of? Because, actually, you could pick more than one, frankly, right, in the NFC North.
Yeah, I was going to say Flacco.
Oh, that's the AFC North. Right, I meant the NFC North. One of them could be Matt Stafford.
Right.
Okay. I was thinking Jay Cutler, right? Now, the difference is Jay Cutler's only thing he could really do, white quote, is the long ball. Tannehill's weakness is the long ball. So, I mean, you know, but I see an element of, you know, Dan Marino is sliced bread. And the Dolphins have had nothing since. So they threw the money at him. But I'll give you this. At least they're not paying him more than $10 million a year or anything like that. I mean, if he does part ways, let's take the $45 million figure just to be the most conservative to the potential concept of dealing with a lot of damage. Just for the worst case scenario, let's say that the $45 million cap hit over 6 years is what the Dolphins have to take. Do a little bit of math. How's that break down? $7.5 million, right?
Right.
That's still less than 10. Yep. So
I mean, even his contract's only like 10, is $12 million a year. So
I didn't even break it down that far. If he gets the full $95 million, which won't happen, then it's 15 million.
Almost 13 million. $13 million. It's still not bad. I mean, it's still not super high either. The $15-18 million that some of the other quarterbacks are getting.
Now, let me say this. Should that be the starting point for Russell Wilson's contract?
It is. It will be.
Yeah, and I think you're right there, too. The Seattle Seahawks have, in fact, publicly said that they will not pay $20 million a year for Russell Wilson. So, that's a good thing.
And you got to look. I mean, with that $25 million, even in 2 years, that $25 million guaranteed contract, that's basically two years of his contract right there. After 2 years, they can cut him loose. They don't owe him anything else. Basically, $25 million guaranteed. And he has his best receiving core ever right now, I think.
Jarvis Landry and the newly drafted Devontae Parker.
Right. Also with Greg Jennings, Kenny Stills, and tight end Jordan Cameron.
Damn.
So he has an upgrade at the receiver position. Still nothing with the running back position, but upgrade with, you know, Lamar Miller's okay, but he'll have his time, but, you know, this is the best receiving core he has had down there in there. So this is like his make or break year right here. And also with Joe Philbin, of course, coach.
Here's what I'll say. If you're if you're a defensive coordinator, more specifically, let's say you're the Jets and your strategy is I'm going to dare Tannehill to win the game with the throws. If he can't do it at this point, it's time to just let it go. Now, if you'll observe the fact, he only has an extra year based on my philosophy. But let's say in the next four instances, assuming they don't make the playoffs, obviously. Well, the Jets won't. But the next four instances, they play the Jets. If I'm the Jets defensive coordinator and I say, make him beat us with his arm, and he can't do it in any of those four games, then it's time to part ways with him. I'll agree with that. I mean, Tannehill's 3 years in already, and personally, I think the jury's still out. I mean, you seem to be
right. Yeah, if I was offense coordinator, Jordan Cameron would be getting a lot of looks against the Jets.
Sure,
they're with weaker linebacker core right there, because you know he's with the Jets. They have Revis and Cromartie back again. So you're looking at the receivers are going to be shut down there. You're going to have Jordan Cameron. He gives you that stretch the middle of the field, kind of go across the middle, tight end. Tight.
Sure.
So
yeah, no, he's very talented.
He look to him have a big game if they get him involved early, which they should.
Greg Jennings, Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, Jarvis Landry, Jordan Cameron. That's a lot of weapons.
Right.
That's a lot of weapons.
So there should be no excuse this year. That's what I said. There should be no excuse at
all
this year.
That's a lot of weapons.
It is.
They haven't done enough on their offensive line, in my opinion, but that's a lot of weapons.
What helped them out last year, the offensive line was improved last year over the over 2013.
Well, of course. They didn't have the scandal.
Right. But also moving the center to guard.
Pouncey
back to guard, like I said.
I'll agree. Because Samson Satili's a good center. I don't care what people say. But anyways, I don't know. And, of course, every offensive line that's not the New England Patriots got better with Vince Wilfork leaving the division. So that's a factor as well.
Well, but then Dominican Sue joined the division. So
every other offensive line not in Miami got worse. That's
correct.
True, too. Although, all of the above being said, since the AFC East is playing the AFC South, Vince Wilfork will have a farewell tour.
Right, correct.
With his, yeah, he'll have his farewell tour headlining for J.J. Watt. Damn it. I need to find a way to get to Reliant Stadium this season if I can. I need to make that happen. Chris Rizzo, if you're listening, you're about to get a phone call after the show. I'm just saying, dude. Anyways, so there you go. But the Dolphins, the magic number is 11. That's a lot of weapons. That's a defensive improvement. I mean, you know what? I'm going to do it. Let's pull up that dang schedule and let's walk through it like we did the Patriots, because I'm genuinely curious now. Let's see if we think the Dolphins can make the 11. Now, we already said they'd split with the Pats.
Correct.
So.
And they always have a tendency to split with the Jets and the Bills.
Let's just call it a 3-3 split in the division. Okay.
And then they still have the AFC South and NFC East.
So let's walk through it. Okay. Opening the season. Game one. Redskins.
To win.
Jags.
They like to drop the games that should win.
It's in Jacksonville, too.
Right.
They
should win it,
though. Because here's what I know is that offensive line at Jacksonville is still not better, and they're staring down the barrel at Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake. They're going to win that football game. The Bills, week 3. We're already counting that.
Yeah, they're counting that one.
So it's 5-3 at this point. Okay. The Titans in Tennessee.
Thinking they'll win that one.
Okay. So that's 6-3. The Texans, I think they're going to lose that one.
Yeah.
Okay. 6-4. At the Eagles in Philadelphia.
They'll lose that one.
Okay. I just said 6-4. That's
6-5.
Okay. The Cowboys, they'll lose that one. 6-6. The Ravens. I think they'll win that football game.
Yeah, they always win that one game you don't expect them, and they'll lose that game you don't expect it.
Without Helody Nada, I think they're going to win that football game, 7-6, which means they have to win out. I had to have done something wrong. Okay, 3-3. Then we said 5-3 to open the season. They're going to beat the Titans at 6-3. They're going to lose to the Texans at 6-4. Lose to the Eagles, that's 6-5. 6-6 to the Cowboys. 7-6 the Ravens. And then that means if they win out with the Giants, Chargers, and Colts, they're still only 10-6 and a game short of toppling the Patriots.
All right, where are they playing the Chargers?
The Chargers are in San Diego.
Ooh, it's going to be tough.
But it's in December, so...
Right, it was still tough. If it was here, it was a guaranteed win for the Dolphins, pretty much.
Well, and here's the thing. In that winning out, you know who else they have to beat, although it is in Miami? The Colts.
Right.
I don't see them winning that football game either. So...
You know, that could surprise some of those with the, Cowboys, Eagles.
I don't think they're going to beat the Cowboys. They might be able to beat the Eagles. I don't think they're going to beat the Cowboys. Simply because, again... They might beat the Eagles because Brent Grimes, Ndamukong Suh, Cameron Wake. That's pretty tough defensive crew to deal with, especially with a team that has no receivers to speak of. And, oh, by the way, if Sam Bradford isn't healthy in Week 10, which could be a real thing, that too. So it's very real that they beat the Eagles. But even then, I still only think 10 games, they're going to be short. They're going to be short of the playoffs. So, for all the people bitching about the suspension of Tom Brady, it just doesn't matter. You want to know something else? It matters, but at this point, as a 49er fan, whatever. I'm over it. Justin Smith announces his retirement to a 14-year career. Started out in Cincinnati. Spent 8 years in San Francisco. That blows my mind that he was there that long. It just watching him play, the time just passed quickly. What can I say? He's listed as a D tackle, but can play outside. Just a versatile guy. He was J.J. Watt before there was J.J. Watt. Okay, maybe not that crazy, but that first guy that you could line up inside and outside in this current era of football in the millennials, there's not too many guys like that out there. And heck, there's not that many guys out there like that now. But I like the way he put it, when you get on bald tires, you're on bald tires. It was just time for me to move on, which means, he doesn't want to be one of these cats that just hangs on and hangs on and hangs on. The only good news is they have Darnell Dockett that they got in the offseason. The other, the part that really disturbs me is they're hoping that Eric Armstead, which, by the way, people who spell their name Eric with an A, you already have a strike against you. Then you went to Oregon, a team that's known for soft defense and are trying to play in what was a Harbaugh system before Jim Harbaugh left, obviously, but is still, for all intents and purposes, going to be a Harbaugh defensive system. You're small, you're going to try to play, or excuse me, you're soft, you're going to try to play tough in there. I'm not feeling it. So then, here's a list again for those who haven't heard me cry about it already. Justin Smith, Patrick Willis, Dan Scuta. I'm missing one. There's another. Oh, Chris Borland. There it is. Four talented. I guess that's four Pro Bowl caliber talent. Well, Scuta wasn't a Pro Bowler. But those are four starting NFL talents gone. Well, I think third place or fourth place in the division, Chris, 49ers, pop quiz.
I'd say fourth place.
Damn it, me too.
Anyway. See, think about, you know, with the Willis retirement, there's something with his injury that he had last year. He's not back at 100%. That's why he's going. And then with Justin Smith retiring, I like it because he's going out kind of still. He can still play probably 2 years, but he's, like you said, on bald tires. You know, it's starting to go down. You know, he can feel it, physical aspect of it. That's why he's retiring. Unlike, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew, who left after those injuries, went to Oakland, and then he came back as he just retired as a Jag.
Yeah.
He signed a one-day contract just to sign as a Jag. But, I mean, really, his time was up by then.
Right.
Before he left Jacksonville, he shouldn't, you know, he's looking for the money.
I mean, maybe. I'll say this about Mojo with the Raiders. What support was there? Talk about bald tires. Dude, this guy was on rims carrying the Jags for all those years. And then he went to another franchise and was asked to be part of a running back core, which made sense, but they didn't have the protection to even support that. I can't blame Mojo for that. That's tough for me. But I see where you're coming from by the same token. I don't know. Hey. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm glad Smith went out before, you know.
It's like before the career gets tainted, basically. You know, you. It's like, what have you done for me lately? Is what everyone thinks of.
That's true.
So I mean, you can see the last eight seasons he's been with the Niners, what he's done. Then,
yeah,
he has another year and he has a down year this past year. Then that's all you're going to think about is, oh, you know, he played 1 year too many, and
that makes sense.
Something like that.
I mean, look at Jared Allen going to the Bears this past year. That's all anyone's talking about. You know.
Right. And they're talking about Jared Allen moving to outside linebacker.
I'm talking about a lot of people moving outside linebacker. They saw Julius Peppers do it, and now it's the thing. I don't get it.
Well, Julius Peppers and the Packers run a 3-4 defense.
They do.
So that's why he's outside linebacker. The Bears play a 4-3, and they're talking about moving Jared Allen to a linebacker.
Wait, then let me tell you why that doesn't make sense. Wouldn't you need more speed and movement to be?
You do.
And as you get older, don't you lose speed and movement?
You do.
So they took a guy who's in a position that needed less speed and movement. He's losing speed and movement, and now... No.
They should technically move him into the inside as a D tackle.
I don't know that he's big enough for that.
Yeah, but he doesn't have that outside pass rush anymore. I think.
I don't know.
I have not left the weight room for 4 hours a day.
Well, at that
age, needs to call. He needs to call up Justin Smith and say, "How'd you do it?"
It's like, I stopped doing it. I mean, 14 years is an amazing length of career, and Jared Allen isn't exactly young. He's not 14 years in, but...
Yeah, he's getting there, because, I mean, yeah. He started his career in KC before he had that long career up in Minnesota.
Correct. Very good. Yeah. I don't know. But the Niners are screwed. I mean, I called it during the season last year, but I had no idea any of this was going to happen. Four starting caliber players. This is trash. Okay, so they'll have Alden Smith and Navarro Bowman and Amon Brooks.
And Darnell Dockett.
And Darnell Dockett. Did they keep Tony Gerard, Eddie? I'm not sure.
But they also had that rookie last year that filled in for Willis that played pretty well.
Chris Borland retired. Oh, he retired after one year in. Really? He pulled the Glenn Coffey. Minus the religious experience thing. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I thought that was it. I'm like, really?
Yes. No. Yes. It is that
Why
bad.
Why retire after 1 year?
Injury concerns.
Yeah.
He didn't want to, you know, get concussions and stuff. How dare he put his body before? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, I respect his decision, don't get me wrong, but for anybody who has a rooting interest in this team, forget about it. I'm just going to stop now. Let's move to something else before I start throwing things. Anyways. So, I looked at something, and I first saw it on NFL.com, but it references Odell Beckham Jr. For those who don't remember precisely, this is the guy that went up and grabbed the wicked awesome three-finger catch. See, I said that with a Bostonian accent, even though he's a Giants player, just to piss you off. Shut up, Kyle! No, but so he made that amazing catch, and now, I mean, he's even on the Madden cover. It's insane. But he's quoted, and I want to make sure I get this right for the record.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay, go ahead.
He says, I think that we should make more money personally.
And that's in reference to NFL players in general. Now, on the surface, that sounds bad. Let's not put anything around. There'll be those fans that are like, oh, you play a game for a living, yada, yada, and all that. And he goes on to compare
the physical aspect of football to basketball, baseball, and soccer. And they're saying, yeah, I know basketball plays 80-something games. Baseball plays a lot of games. Soccer plays a lot of games. Right. All smiles today.
He's 163, specifically, if you have this wild card trash. And that doesn't even include playoffs in both cases of football and basketball. That's all without playoffs. So
Which could be another 21 games if you're
correct.
A 7-game season.
If you make it to the finals.
Actually, I think the first one's only 5-game series. The first.
Not anymore. No, they moved that to 7. So yeah, this shows you that Chris is not a basketball fan, and that's okay.
No, it was baseball. Basketball's 82. I was talking about basketball. I was talking about baseball is 162 games.
But the first round being 5 games versus 7 is wrong.
Yeah, that was baseball.
Oh.
Baseball still has that, I believe. A wild card.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. I don't know anything about baseball. And they play 162 games, and now there's 163rd for that wild card crap.
Right. And then if you have to play 162 games, you still don't know who the best team is? Something wrong with your league. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, oddly enough, I like it better now that Bud Selig retired. But anyway,
when you have a team goes 120 and 42, and then the next closest is like 97 and 65, just give the 120 and the team the championship. What's
First
the
of
point?
All, a lot of people right now are doing the math on their calculators to make sure that you said the number of games correctly. But anyways, but which by the way, I think he got it right. But
when you win 97 games and you still don't make the playoffs, there's something wrong with your system too.
Yeah, by the same token, if you're playing in the NBA East and you barely win 40 games and you still make
playoffs.
The damn playoffs, that's what the trash is.
Well, yeah, well, NFL with the 7-9 teams making the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, you know, we won't refer to the Kardashian sisters. That was the NFC South last year. Which is, by the way, I think the only way the AFC East schedule could be weaker is if it was the NFC South instead of the NFC East. But I digress. For all we know, the NFC East could be the worst team in the NFC again. But, so we should be getting paid more. Here's the thing. Well, tell me what you think of that, Chris, first, and then I'll weigh in.
We're not getting paid more?
Yeah.
If you break it down per game, they get paid more. You got to look at How many people are on an NFL roster? 53-man rosters.
That's correct.
Baseball, they have like 18, 22. Basketball is 12 plus, active plus like 15
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
So, I mean, if you look at that, soccer's 18. So, I mean, you look at the,
I would not have known that, but yeah.
It could be up to 22, but usually they have about 18. So, I mean, you look at that. What he was talking about is the average NFL salary in 2013 was $2 million per player.
Correct.
Average. The rookie minimum was $420,000 a year. So, I mean, still $420,000. I'll take that for a year playing football, you know. But,
yeah.
So, with it, yeah, comparison to the other sports, what the physical aspect that they put their body through each game, the force, the speed they run at, the force, the hit and everything. Yeah, they are getting a little underpaid, but per game, they're still making more money than the other.
Well, okay, and let me Most take it there. First of all, for a person who should be speaking out about this should not be the guy on the Madden cover, because I'm sure it's at least $10 million he gets for landing that. Or maybe it's not $10 million, but you know he's making some fat cash to be on that cover, because it's the single most recognizable sports title. And, I mean, it's not exactly like EA Games, albeit on the decline like a lot of big-name video game franchise companies, corporations, whatever you want to call it, are out there, are on the decline. They're still okay. They're not poor yet. But I'm with you. He makes a legitimate point. Don't give me this garbage about cash per game. I don't think there's another sport, and it damn sure ain't baseball, by the way, that works as hard year-round as the NFL does. And there's only one sport, I would say, that does work harder than the NFL, the NHL. Bottom line, hockey players deserve... If the major sport in this country that deserves the biggest pay raise, in my opinion, is the NHL. I mean, somebody might try to argue me UFC and all this other stuff. I'm not even trying to get into that right now. Okay. For all intents and purposes, certainly among team sports, the NHL player is the most underpaid. That's just where I live. Right behind it, however, is the NFL. Because I don't know what the rigors of an NHL athlete's upkeep is, but I do know to be successful in the NFL is a 365, 24/7 job. To keep in shape, to keep sharp, to be ready. There's plenty of guys out there. Hell, Roger Clemens, say what you want about the steroid scandal and all of that. His final contract was essentially, look, I'm only going to play home games, and I'm going to play once every five games. Sign me up. And he got paid an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah, baseball does get overpaid.
I would even say guarantee the same for basketball. You know, now granted, they do have a max contract quote. But
right, and there is wear and tear on basketball players. I mean, you know.
But their contracts are also guaranteed.
Right.
And I think Becca makes the point in this interview with the Huffington Post that the NFL shelf life is far less than the other.
That is correct.
So, right. Anyways, speaking of shelf lives, the shelf life of this show is now itself coming to an end. You can, of course, catch me, Kyle Nash, as soon as the game at the SOTG. Check out the website, ngscsports.com. That's where you'll catch us on talks. You can also find us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spreaker, the TuneIn app, just all over the place when it comes to the radio. So don't be afraid to find us elsewhere on your mobile device. You can find Chris on Twitter at Hydraulic Upright. That's U-P-R-I-T-E. Still a great name because Weasel's not here. Boom. On Twitter. Of course, I am at the SOTG. So, yeah. Excellent show. We'll have Weasel back next week full time. And we actually got to talk some football this week. I'm stoked about that because Deflategate. Make it end. I don't care. Just take the punishment, Patriots. Just make it end for us all. Anyways, until next time, everyone. Class dismissed.